Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA. And your number one source for Chicago Bulls news and stories. On Twitter at Locked On Bulls, at Jordan C. Malley, and at Bulls underscore Pep.
People have their opinion.
What other falsehoods are out there?
A lot of the perception things about us.
Are players buying in, Jim?
Yes.
Fair enough.
Rebuilds are difficult. Sometimes it takes years and years. I still believe, given a really good offseason with this draft pick that we have coming and with our ability to get some veteran players in here alongside these young guys, we can make a substantial leap.
Kick back, relax. Locked On Bulls starts now.
My job is to prepare the child for the road, not the road for the child. And these guys are men.
Here are your hosts, Jordan Malley and Matt Peck.
What's up and welcome into Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, streaming live on Dash Radio every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday, 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central Time. I'm your host, Jordan Malley. Along with me is Matt Peck. Follow us on Twitter at Jordan C. Malley, at Bulls underscore Peck, and at Locked On Bulls. Hit us up on our text and voicemail line, 331-979-1369, the place to do that. Drop all of your texts and all of your voicemails. We have a ton of voicemails to get into today, Matt, and we have a ton of text messages as well. So thank you for everybody who's been hitting us up at 331-979-1369. It's the off season, but feels like the middle of the season, like the Bulls are actually good or something with all the voicemails you guys continue to drop and all the reaction you guys have this off season. So appreciate everybody who's reached out to us. Welcome back, Matt. Thanks for holding things down. These last few weeks have been very, very weird. My schedule, as a lot of you have known, I became a producer at the 670 The School, which means I'm working mostly overnights now. So scheduling has been kind of odd, but we're going to get back on track here at some point. Good thing is it's the off season. Now we're going to go into sort of the dead period, but still producing four or five shows for you guys every single week. But Matt, how you doing? What's going on, and how's your week going?
What's up, Jordan? What's up, Bulls Nation? Doing pretty well. Getting close to the weekend. Trying to stay inside today because not only do we have thunderstorms, but apparently we're getting like 105-degree weather later today, which, like, come on, this is Chicago. Get your act together.
Unbelievable.
But, I mean, I feel like we have to start before we get to mailbag stuff. We got to start with the breaking news this morning, which is that the Bulls officially... And quite surprisingly, when we were talking on a show a couple weeks ago about who was staying, who was going, we were reacting to the Archie Diacono contract news. We were talking about how we thought it meant that Shaq Harrison was probably not coming back. Well, Shams just broke the news this morning around like 7:30 or so Central Time that the Bulls and Shaq Harrison have agreed to a one-year deal, which means that now the Bulls have the NBA's newest, hottest Shaq and Kobe duo. With Shaq Harrison and Kobe White. We didn't think we would get treated to that, but now we do. And oh my God, there's going to be so many Shaq and Kobe memes and so many Shaq and Kobe gifts that we get to use this season. I'm so excited. Free cheese.
This is going to be so good. So good. I mean, between Shaq Harrison coming back, which just not only means that they might be the departure of Antonio Blakeney, and unfortunately for him, maybe go sign with a different team, but... It could be also another move. Could be Chris Dunn being traded too. But I'm happy Shaq Harrison's coming back. I had a feeling. I mean, you know, we talked about this for the last couple of months. Him and Ryan Arcidiacono were two guys that it was like almost the Bulls couldn't afford to let both of those guys go because they liked different aspects of each of their games relatively cheap too. So it's cool to see Shaq Harrison come back here because I had a feeling if he went to any other team, it would be one of those situations, sort of like a Spencer Dinwiddie situation where he's going and he's even better than he was with the Bulls. And we regret letting him go. Same thing with like David Nwaba, maybe to a lesser degree. But I'm glad Shaq Harrison's back, man. And Jim Boylan, that's like one of his favorites.
Right. You know, our pal Casey Johnson of the Trib was tweeting about this morning. Not only mentioning that they're still considering waiving Blakeney as a way to get down to 15, that roster limit, and also considering trading Dunn still. But the fact that this was still a possibility because Shaq is one of Jim Boylan's favorite players from this past season. Much like Archie is real high on Jim Boylan's grit and toughness and spirit list, Shaq certainly showed that this past season. And, you know, we were thinking, well, if they're bringing in, you know, Satoransky and they sign, they draft Kobe White and they're bringing back Archie. We figured those dominoes falling probably meant that Shaq was not going to be kept around. But there was always that slight possibility just because he's so highly respected and valued by Jim Boylan. And he definitely brings some smart, necessary attributes to the table when you talk about this team's weaknesses last year. Shaq Harrison was one of the few competent defensive players on this team last season. And not just like, oh, well, like the Bulls are so bad defensively. He's just a middling defender who looks good by comparison. No, when you compare his numbers in certain defensive statistics across the league, Shaq Harrison was an elite defender last season. And he doesn't bring you a whole lot on the offensive end. Not really a shooting threat. He does, you know, he's competent when the Bulls are playing in transition. He's certainly got some speed to his game, and he can finish around the rim. He's just not really a shooter. But clearly the Bulls value his defense highly enough that they decided to bring him back. It's just a one-year deal. And Shaq Harrison also, to me, like, he screams team player. He screams smart team player. When you see him out there on the court, for the most part, he's playing basketball the right way. Which may sound like a cliche and may sound phony and not something that's real or unimportant. But then compare it to, say, the guy who they might buy out and say thanks, but bye, Antonio Blakeney, who, like, I can't believe how many stands there are for Blakeney on Bulls Twitter, because the guy's just, a bucket off the bench. But he doesn't know how to play basketball. It's like, you know, my pal Sabine from The Outsiders jokes about how he thinks he has some kind of like brain condition, because the dude, all he knows how to do is get the basketball and shoot the basketball. He does not know how to play the game of basketball. So by comparison, Shaq Harrison actually makes a lot more sense because he knows how to play basketball.
It's funny. It's because it seems like he just knows how to score. That's about all
he does.
That's
all he does.
Gets torched on the defensive end of the ball. But look, I wasn't expecting miracles overnight with Antonio Blakeney. And some of the few things that we saw last year were good, but full season of Antonio Blakeney, I don't know if that's going to work out. So he's probably going to be packing his bags unless they find a Chris Dunn trade sometime in the next few weeks. But again, happy that Shaq Harrison is back and get another opportunity to see him play, flourish a little bit more too, and still pretty young and on a cheap contract. So it's another deal that I actually do like that the Bulls made this offseason by bringing him back. And on top of that, Matt, Luke Kornet, he officially signed his deal 2 years, $4.5 million. So yeah, that was a mystery that we were trying to solve last week to see if there was still a deal in place or some type of move that the Bulls were going to make. But Luke Kornet now officially signed for 2 full years.
Yeah, and we were thinking the reason that there was a delay in that becoming official is because the Bulls were still working on some Chris Dunn hypothetical trades, you know, quietly, in order to maybe free up some cap space so that they could, instead of using the room exception for Kornet, just sign him with cap space and then use the room exception on a 15th and final player, like that veteran wing shooter that we've been talking about the last couple of days. So it seems like that's not necessarily going to happen. The Chris Dunn trade could still happen, and they're just looking for the right trade. It doesn't have to be an even trade as far as players going from one team to the other. So that's still on the table. Kornet, you know, I think we both saw it as a pretty positive, low-risk signing when it was first announced a couple weeks ago. A stretch, you know, seven-footer who cooked the Bulls a couple of times when the Bulls and Knicks played twice towards the back end of last season. And, certainly provide some depth, and we'll see how Boylan handles his front court depth situation, and a lot of pieces to work with, not only Kornet, but of course, you know, everybody's excited about Gafford after summer league. One more thing on Shaq Harrison, though, when you talk about all of the backcourt pieces that this team has now, and the fact that he's not necessarily a super offensive minded guard, And I know some of these lineups weren't pretty last season, but if you'll recall, Jordan, and it, some of it was just based on the bodies that were available, we saw some lineups where Shaq Harrison was playing the three, where the Bulls trotted out three guard lineups where it was, you know, whoever at the one and the two, you know, some combination of Archie and whatever their guard was healthy, and Shaq Harrison playing small ball three. That is still possible as, you know, a lineup that, that Boylan could choose to use at times this season if the Bulls go small ball. So because we keep talking about the lack of depth and the concern with the lack of depth at that wing spot, behind Otto, your options are Hutch, who as a second-year first-round pick didn't look all that great in summer league just now, and Denzel Valentine, who hasn't played basketball since 1965. So it's not like a perfect ideal fit for more depth at that spot, but we did see at times last year when they went small ball that Shaq Harrison can play some three because he's got the athleticism and some of the length to play and to guard multiple spots.
I thought it was a real positive.
Carr thinks it's a real positive. So, yeah, Shaq Harrison, I'm glad, but playing the three, like you and I kind of laughed at that. We were like, what are we doing here? Shaq Harrison's playing the three. We're playing a real small ball lineup. Well, so hopefully Otto Porter and Chandler Hutchison stay healthy enough so that doesn't have to come up in any situation.
I'm just saying it's an option. And this time around, instead of the three guards in a three guard lineup being like, you know, Shaq Harrison, Archie, and like Blakeney or whoever else, that like you could see the Bulls go small and have those moments where like they're playing like a Kobe White, Zach LaVine backcourt, and they're playing Shaq at the three, and Shaq is in there for some defensive help. And you have this very athletic, very talented, very fast backcourt of Zach LaVine and Kobe White. Like, I wouldn't mind seeing some minutes of those three on the court together, because we talk about Zach LaVine making another step in his defensive game this season because he's talking it up, and hopefully that happens. But he's still a non-plus defensive player. Kobe White's still going to be a concern when he's on the floor defensively, because he's got short arms and he's got a thin frame. So if Shaq Harrison is out there in some three-guard lineups to help mask some of the defensive weaknesses of LaVine and Kobe White, if Boylan ever chooses to play LaVine and Kobe White together, I wouldn't be opposed to that.
Agreed. And I think the way that they should develop Kobe White, and maybe this is a little early to talk about this, but is not hamstring him by just being a traditional point guard, which I don't think that they're going to do, especially if Boylan is smart with knowing his roster. He'll have the ability to put Kobe White out there at the one and the two and kind of see which better suits him as a player. And so hopefully Shaq Harrison gets some time too in there. But yeah, I'm 100% with you. I like this deal. I like the Lou Cornette signing too, officially, that happened today. So some good stuff from the Bulls again, and we'll find out what the Bulls decide to do with their roster. Maybe they'll make a move today or sometime later this week, or maybe it doesn't come for another few weeks, whether they're going to move Chris Dunn or end up cutting Antonio Blakeney. I'm not sure the exact date that they have to make a decision on and start to cut their roster down. Is that in the beginning of August, or is it the end of August right before training camp starts?
I think it's right before training camp starts is when they have to have that roster set.
So I'm pretty sure you can have up to 21 guys on your actual roster up until you get to training camp. That's where you got to cut it down to 15.
Right. And, you know, the Bulls brought a bunch of people to training had a bunch of people working out for them leading up to training camp last season, like well over 15. And then they, you know, they trimmed it down. Players like, you know, Archie wasn't even sure if he was going to get a job this time last season when the Bulls were working him out. So the other option and I wouldn't be opposed to this, talking about, well, either they can just simply like buy out Blakeney, which is only like a little over $1.5 million, to say goodbye to him, or trade Chris Dunn, maybe for some like a future draft asset. But they could hypothetically do both. They could waive Blakeney and trade Chris Dunn. And here's the other option that I think Bulls fans wonder why the Bulls don't do more of this as they're rebuilding. They could keep a roster spot open coming into the season. They could come into the season at 14 instead of 15 and keep their ears, open and their phone lines open for a hypothetical trade, you know, where they can maybe take an unwanted contract that that allows them to get a draft asset. That's all, like, at leading up to the trade deadline, because the Bulls have in recent years at times enjoyed having that 15th and final roster spot open to create the ability to do that and have some wiggle room. So we'll see what happens, but they could, I mean, a month from now, when we're getting closer to training camp, you could be talking about the fact that they did buy out Blakeney and trade Chris Dunn. It's certainly possible.
Is there any possibility that they keep Blakeney and they end up stretching Felicio instead?
I don't think so. Just because, I think it would be kind of a waste to stretch Felicio at this point, because you're not really contending. You're going to try and be a competitive team this season, but you're not really contending. And to me, it's not worth it to pay Felicio further years down the road, especially when you're talking about maybe hopefully being a actual free agent destination and wanting all the cap space as possible. And that's why we keep talking about 2021. Just bite the bullet. If they can find a suitor to take Felicio's contract as one piece in a multi-piece trade between now and when his money comes off the books two summers from now, then fine. But to me, stretching Felicio is not worth it. And like, Blakeney is so much not, he does not have a fan in Jim Boylan. That became pretty apparent when Boylan took over for Fred. Like, Blakeney was in the doghouse for a long time. If you remember, there was a stretch in the middle to back end of the season where Blakeney just vanished. Like, Boylan refused to play him because guess what? He doesn't know how to play basketball. So you make all the jokes you want about Felicio, but I'm pretty sure that Jim Boylan finds Blakeney to be just as useless. So I don't think that that's more likely.
What is Felicio doing?
I'm not sure.
Yeah, I don't think so either. Yeah, with Antonio Blakeney too, just one last thing on him. I know we've spent a lot of time on Antonio Blakeney, but it seems like Fred liked and favored Antonio Blakeney's skills, and maybe that was more so the playing style that Fred was trying to mix in, and maybe it was just a lack of bodies at the end of last season or two seasons ago now, where we saw Blakeney in a lot of different stretches where he was just like, go out there and try and light it up and see what you can do. But $1.5 million too on their cap hit too, if they want to free up that space and, cut things down. It's not as big of a hit as stretching Felicio, like you were saying, over what, the next four seasons at $3.75 million or something along those lines. So I'm with you on that, by the way. Let's now switch gears and let's go to our mailbag. Real quick, before we go to mailbag, Matt, I just want to make our listeners aware of this because this is a pretty big milestone for us. For the first time ever in the, almost 3 years that we've been doing shows together, I now have the ability to drop sound while we're doing and recording the show. So a lot of the show was post edits. A lot of the sounds that you guys were hearing, a lot of the voicemails, all of that was in post-production. And while it sounded good and it was great, I now have the ability. So Matt, now you can actually hear what I am dropping into the episodes while we're doing it. It's going to make things a lot better. And you're going to hear more sound now from us as opposed to me having to post edit everything in. So I appreciate that. And Matt, I have a ton of sound already lined up for us and I have some great Gar Foreman drops.
Yeah, man. Obviously makes your job a little easier, which I think most of our listeners know at this point that you're the one who does all of the post-production work on these episodes. Bless your heart. Putting in a lot of hours editing this to make it sound as good as possible for our listeners out there. And audio quality is king when it comes to podcasts. Everybody knows that. And there's a lot of pods out there. And who wants to listen to a podcast with shitty audio? So kudos to you. And I'm excited, man. Like, bless technology. There's just going to make us our lives so much better and so much easier, especially now that I get to listen to your guard drops every once in a while.
It's gonna bring Zipser,
who there it is. It's gonna bring so much joy back into my life. Oh,
listen to this. listen to this one I caught from Gar Foreman, and I had this in, you know, stashed away, and we must have played it like a year or two ago. But listen to this for a second, because tell me what you grab from this Gar Foreman audio really quick. Just first thing that you hear after it's done playing.
We've talked about we're really hot on Bobby Portis, McDermott, Nikola Mirotic, Felicio.
Oh, what's the common theme between all of that?
Well, other than Felicio, the common theme is all those dudes have been traded.
All those dudes are not on the Bulls, and it's been less than 2 years since Gar said all of that. That was, I believe, right at Media Day in 2017. Yeah, 2017, or right at the beginning of 2018. So it's been only about 2 years.
And we've never heard from Gar ever again.
Oh, man. But
we studied the options, and we've studied the NBA, and we've studied the history of the NBA.
You lie.
We've added Jerian Grant, who we talked about.
Oh my God, I can't. Do you know what? I've full 180. I hate this. No, we need to limit the number of guard drops in our episodes. It's giving me hives.
You stink. Let me just get that out the way. You stink.
And there will be plenty of Stephen A. Smith drops. I can promise you that right now.
Do I get a vote? I object. Can't handle that guy.
I have probably about 15 lined up right now of Stephen A. Smith.
All right. Well, we're going to give you a quota, Mr. Producer. You are allowed one Stephen A. drop a week. One a week. You got that?
It's the weed.
Come on. These are just too good. Like, I could sit here and just do an entire episode of just dropping sound.
I'm sorry. Is this our podcast or is this Stephen A's podcast? No,
it's just too good. But I have plenty of Jim Boylan. I have plenty of Gar Foreman as well. I will be loading in more too. I've been trying to cut up as much audio that I already have stored and I've been using over the last, you know, I don't know, a year, 2 years of podcasts. Our listeners' favorite though is
Paul Zipser, who we're high on.
Always a fan favorite. So we'll have that too. So yeah, if you guys catch anything that you want to hear on the show, send it our way at lockedonbulls@gmail.com. But Matt, let's kick things off and let's go to our text and voicemail line where you can hit us up at 331-979-1369. We're going to go to Patrick 312 for the first call.
Hello guys. This is Patrick again. Hey, I have to say that, this week's edition of the mailbag was fire, man. My goodness. The passion that you, Jordan, and Matt, you know, showed while debating the whole, Russell Westbrook trade scenario, you know, to Chicago scenario was just, you know, phenomenal. You know, we have to appreciate both sides and opinions and, you know, that's cool. But with that said, I have a hypothetical that I wanted to pose to you gentlemen, and here it is. Now, say if the Bulls were not had punted on free agency this year and somehow were able to acquire Kemba Walker in free agency because, you know, obviously, you know, we needed a point guard this year going into next season. Like we knew that was a position that we needed to address. So say if we would have got him, would you guys and all of Chicago Bulls sports media and fan base, would all of them have been pleased with that? Knowing that, hey, you know, he is a top tier free agent basically, but you know, he's not the top guy, you know. Like how LeBron was in 2010 and Wade and Bosch, and you know, we missed out on those three and basically got the fourth place guy and Carlos Boozer that you know that year. And then when it came down to Carmelo and we were, you know, whining and dining him, and instead of getting him, we basically got the next best free agent in that class that year, I believe, which was Paul Gasol. So, you know, that was second place. But you know, in hindsight, you know, the view of that move was, hey, that's still not good enough because, you know, hey, it's second place. It's not first in Carmelo. So, you know, moving forward to now. So if we would have got Kemba, would that had worked? Would everyone been pleased with that? you know, knowing that, hey, he, you know, he's a really good free agent, but not the top one. So in 2021, if we get that second or third place type of player and not the very top guy, are we going to be unhappy, or are we going to be like, hey, we have a really good player here? So, yeah, that's it, guys. Thank you very much. And you guys have a great rest of your week.
You were actually, I'm pretty sure Patrick was the one that sparked our conversation last week, Matt, that we ended up going for like 20, 25 minutes on Russell Westbrook. And I know you touched on Russell Westbrook too on your solo show the other day, but appreciate the call. But do you think that if the Bulls wouldn't have traded for Otto Porter Jr. and they had come into free agency this summer and struck out on some of these big guys, tried to get them to go away from their other teams or stop grouping up together, and actually signed a star and had the cap space available like a Kemba Walker, like Patrick had mentioned, you think the fan base would have been okay with that? Or do you think it would have been like people would have been pissed off because they put a ceiling on their rebuild as opposed to kind of waiting it out, seeing what their young players do?
I mean, I think if the Bulls didn't trade for Otto and had all the max cap space in the world this summer and managed to land Kemba, most of the fan base would be pretty happy about that. And, you know, I'm sorry, but Patrick, you know, got to make a correction to your thoughts, because you're talking about settling for a guy like that, you know, who's maybe not the biggest name or the biggest star, comparing it to like the Bulls getting Boozer in 2010 after missing on Bron, Wade, and Bosch, or, you know, Pow after missing out on Melo. Kemba Walker is a star. Kemba Walker might not have as much glitz and glamour around his name as some of the other big names who are playing on championship contending teams in bigger markets over the last 5, 6, 7 years. But when you take away playoff contention and big market, there is not a bigger, better star player in the league on a tier above Kemba, in my opinion. The dude is a star. So in a hypothetical, if the Bulls don't trade for Otto, have all the cap space in the world and use it to sign Kemba, pretty sure most of the fan base will be happy about that, considering most everybody's been wondering for the last several years where the hell our team's next starting point guard is and where he's coming from. But again, I mean, like, as long as we're wishing and filling up our dreams and our make-believes, like, a Pegasus would be cool. Like, come on, Kemba wasn't signing here. Get real.
Yeah, I agree with that. Yeah, I think part of the fan, it would have been 50-50, like the fan base always is, no matter what the moves are. It would have been half the fan base would have loved it and would have been totally on board with it. The other half would have bitched and moaned about how nobody's going to come here in addition to Kemba Walker. This team's not going to win a championship with spending the money on Kemba Walker. It would have kind of been the same old song and dance that our entire Bulls fan base does on a seemingly like a daily basis at this point. So I feel like it would have been split 50-50, but I'm like, now that I'm thinking about it, like, going after Kemba Walker would have been great. We'd had a point guard, a star point guard for the next, what, 4 or 5 years. Like, he signed with the Celtics. But again, kind of puts a cap on your ceiling in terms of where you're going to go over the next 3 or 4 years. So taking the Otto Porter money, good for the Bulls. And it shores up their timeline in terms of when they can free up their cap space if they want to chase a star, maybe in 2 years or so.
Yeah, I mean, I'm with you. I don't think there would be a lot of outrage for Kemba, because it would have meant, and you know, it's funny because that's kind of what I was talking about with our Westbrook hypothetical. But Westbrook and Kemba are different kinds of players, and whereas I was concerned about throwing Westbrook into the mix, kind of muddying up the development of these young kids who you're hoping to build around and become contenders several years down the road, I would have been less concerned if they had made a move for Kemba in free agency than if they had made a move for Westbrook via trade. Because I think that Kemba would have disrupted in a less worrisome way. And, you know, I think you disagree with me on that, but that's fine. Agree to disagree. Either way, it's a moot point, because they weren't getting Kemba and they weren't getting Russ.
Agreed. Yeah. And obviously Russell Westbrook going to the Rockets now, and Chris Paul headed to OKC. So I agree with that. And I think the more and more I think about it, like, it would have been nice to have Russ. I would have liked him, and I still stand by everything I said before. And I'm glad that everybody else out there kind of enjoyed our conversation, our little back and forth. Because I feel like you said, it was kind of 50-50 again. Like, half the fan base split and said, yes, they should trade for Russ. Half the fan base saying, no, it's a waste of money. So yeah, it was good conversation. I'm glad people enjoyed that too. So yeah, would the fan base be happy? Half would be happy, half would not. It would be the same thing that this Bulls fan base has been for a while now. So, but thanks for the call. Thanks for checking in, Patrick.
Hey guys, it's Dave from Denver yet again. I am actually getting ready to fly out to Vegas to catch the end of Summer League. Looking forward to seeing the Bulls play, but just wanted to comment on a few things. First off, just got done listening to the voicemail episode from yesterday, and I just want to say that was an awesome, heated discussion that y'all had at the end of that about Russell Westbrook. Personally, I wouldn't be too upset if we bring him in, but I would prefer not to, because I might be optimistic with this, but I think the Bulls definitely have a shot this time in 2021 at getting, if not one, two free agent signings during that summer from some superstars. And a big reason is because of, like you have discussed, kind of the trajectory of this core. And which brings me to my second point. I know there's been a lot of discussion about Zach LaVine, and sometimes I'll read on Reddit or on other blogs, of course, people criticizing him, but we've had some people call in, say that they support Zach LaVine, that they're a big fan of him, and I just want to go even further. And I think Zach LaVine is a player that can be a number one or two option, or like a 1B option, and he doesn't get the amount of credit that I feel like he deserves. Right now I'm just looking at some comparison figures between Zach LaVine this past season, Devin Booker, D'Angelo Russell, and just for the heck of it, Stephen Curry's fifth year in the league. Here's the thing. Zach LaVine, if I'm comparing all those seasons, he has a higher field goal percentage than D'Lo, the same percentage as Devin Booker, just, you know, like 0.004 off from Steph Curry that year. He's been a better three-point shooter this past year than D'Lo and Devin Booker. And he averaged more points than D'Angelo Russell by almost 2 points, almost up there with Devin Booker and Steph Curry. But, you know, I say all that to say, Zach LaVine, if he was in Brooklyn this past year, he would have been a max guy. If he was on a team that was winning some games, there's no doubt that people would be talking about him as a superstar, as someone that deserves a max contract. And the fact that we have him at 19.5 or whatever it is, $1 million a year, is a total steal. And it's for that reason that I think that, you know, we're going to have room to bring in somebody like Giannis.
So look, I'm somebody who's been on LaVine Island since day one. Matt, I think you've been right there with me too. Even through the trade, through the re-signing last year, and all the ups and downs that LaVine has had, and mostly were ups last year in terms of his play. But let's not get carried away here with comparing him to Steph Curry, even if it was Steph Curry in his fifth season. Like, I get what you're saying, but you might be going a little too far with trying to compare him to some of these other guys. I hear what you're saying, too. Like, with the Bulls being better, Zach LaVine would get more publicity. I think he would get more run nationally, and people would recognize him a little bit more. It's kind of like to me, in some sense, it's kind of like Kemba Walker in a small market, or these guys, these, you know, borderline all-stars that are in smaller markets that don't win a bunch, but they're really good for their organization, really good for their city. For Zach LaVine, if the Bulls were better, yes, I think he would get more publicity, but I don't think he's not at the tier of these guys yet that you kind of named. Maybe Devin Booker. I would be willing to have the debate about Devin Booker, and I even had that last year. But yeah, what's cool about Steph Curry?
I mean, I feel like, if I'm recalling correctly, our pal Dave here is like the one who's calling in as the LaVine, the greatest LaVine stan of all the LaVine stans.
Yeah, he's living on LaVine Island with us.
He's living there, man. Which, you know, good for him. I think, because I think he was also the one who was like, I can't believe some of these LaVine trade hypotheticals that we've been getting back when we were like, are the Bulls going to trade LaVine before draft night? Remember that? Yeah. Oh, my. Yeah. So look, would LaVine get more, you know, more attention, more press, more, you know, more praise if he were doing what he were doing on a better team? Yeah, probably. And if the Bulls become a more watchable team this year and he has the similar hot start that he had. Remember last year when LaVine put up like 30 plus points in like the Bulls' first five games or whatever it was? Like people caught an eye and were like, oh man, look at what first fully healthy offseason coming into a first fully healthy season post ACL Zach LaVine is doing. Look at that guy getting buckets. And then the Bulls fell apart, became a laughing stock, and everybody was like, all right, well, enough of that story. If LaVine does what he did last season and even takes a step further and is a guy who averages, you know, somewhere flirting in the neighborhood of 25, 5, and 5, and the Bulls are a more winning basketball team, yeah, he's going to get a little bit more attention. He'll get some All-Star votes, especially considering All-Star weekend is in Chicago this year, or, you know, technically next year in the winter of 2020. Yeah, if LaVine has himself another darn good season and maybe even also picks up his game defensively a bit, yeah, you're talking about a guy who maybe will finally get a little bit of recognition in this league.
He tended to play better when the Bulls were on national TV. And granted, they only had, what, three national games last year, one in Milwaukee in November, where actually Zach LaVine had his worst month of the season, shot his worst, scored pretty decently, hung around with his average for last year, but was not good on the defensive end, was turning the ball over left and right. But then again, he had no help with him. He also had the game against the Lakers too in January, but then he was really, really good against the 76ers. It was the reason why they won that game too back in early March. So that was the one game a lot of people were really hyped about when Jimmy and the Sixers came here for round two versus Jimmy versus Zach LaVine. We were at the first round of that, what, now going back 2 years ago. I think I'm with you with this. Is he would get more praise if the Bulls were better, definitely. And I think that would go for guys like Markkanen too. Like Markkanen gets like, he gets the biggest shade out of any rookie, I think, in that class. Like nobody really, really talks about him the way that they talk about Jason Tatum or anybody else that was taken in the first 10 or 14 picks. Like, I feel like a lot of guys are talked about over Markkanen. And anytime Markkanen is talked about, it's just talked about his height and he can shoot threes. And it's like, I feel like Markkanen is so much better of a player than that and has so much more potential than that. I feel like people don't actually really watch him. And maybe the 9 weeks of him being out at the beginning of the season was part of that problem.
Oh, absolutely. 100%. I think that training camp injury to Markkanen was just such a blow, especially considering we were all so hyped about the work he had done and the work he had put in to bulk up his body a little bit. And we were excited about not just the 3-point shooting 7-footer, but the monster that we watched play for the Finnish national team and saw how much muscle that Markkanen had added in the offseason and we're starting to talk and get excited about his multifaceted game and adding some more work down in the post and all that kind of stuff. And then the injury happened and a lot of that muscle fell off and he just, you know, he lost the head start he was looking like he had coming into that season. So but yeah, with Markkanen and LaVine, if the Bulls are more watchable, if the Bulls are better, if the Bulls are closer to a 500 team and one or both of them continue to, you know, look like young players who are trending towards all-star caliber players, yeah, they'll get more attention. But, you know, until then, you know, it, like the Bulls were a shitty team and they were the best of a shitty team and and neither of them had a fully consistent season. LaVine more so, but yeah. So I don't think either of them was disrespected last season.
I don't think so either. Real quick, if do you think Zach LaVine could get to the level of a Victor Oladipo type of hype around him like he had before he went down with all those injuries?
I don't know. It's just such a weird, like, it's a weird comparison. I mean,
he's the only one that I can draw like a comp to, like where he started out as a guy that was like, yeah, he has some potential there, but like, I don't know if he's going to be able to put it all together. And then he goes to Indiana and he's an all-star. He's carrying that team. So I wonder if Zach LaVine can make maybe that kind of jump. And I think it's, like you said, I think it's about the Bulls getting better as a whole. And if they get it better as a whole, there'll be more focused on marketing, and there'll be more focused on Zach LaVine too. Not just locally, but nationally as well.
Hey guys, it's Julian from San Diego. So I just heard John Paxson on the 670 score this morning and just wanted to comment on that. And so I'm a little bit frightened, but kind of excited. A lot of my thoughts are pretty similar to John Paxson, that, hey, you gotta build from within, you gotta grow. LaVine and Lori gotta be your guys. We weren't ready to entertain a big time free agent. And really, after what we saw in free agency, it was definitely clear that the big, big time stars only want two things. They want to team up with each other, and they want to be in a destination city. So LA, that's obvious. That's a destination market. New York, and it's an economic capital, and where the world starts, so to speak, during the United States Day. You know, that speaks for itself as a destination if you're from that region. And then surprisingly, it seems like maybe Miami is a destination because it's like Hollywood East. Jimmy Butler going there because of his bromance with D. Wade. So, it really seems like we have no choice but to make our free agent plays on the margin, love their signings. Really where it looks like the Bulls went wrong goes back to whatever year the Bulls drafted Kirk Heinrich. Was that 2004, I think? And they just didn't make that play for D. Wade, because that really would have set up the Bulls to be the destination, as far as you got a D. Wade Chicago guy, can really prop up the interest in Chicago. He's a magnanimous personality that attracts other guys. He attracted LeBron. He attracted Chris Bosh. Now he's attracting Jimmy Butler to Miami, even though he's not even playing anymore. So that's kind of the downfall, because Chicago isn't too much of a destination anymore. I mean, you think about, what does Chicago really have to offer? Unless you're from Chicago, there's not a super draw, because people aren't enthralled with, like, the Michael Jordan era and the mystique of playing with the Bulls, unless you're from this area. Maybe one other exception is the UNT guys, like Kobe White. He's got kind of a deference for MJ and what he did with the Bulls. So maybe that's our two avenues to try to recruit new talent is from within. So I think, strangely, Paxson may have been on something.
One real quick note. For anybody that's leaving us voicemails at 331-979-1369, your voicemail caps off at 3 minutes and hangs up on you. That's just the way our voicemail line's set up. So if you have a question, more likely than not, it will get played and played in full if you can make your thought under 3 minutes. So that would help us out a lot, too.
There's also nothing wrong with a question or comment that's like 30 seconds or a minute.
That too. But Julian brings up a kind of a decent point, Mac. That's something that we haven't talked about in a little while, is the ability to recruit. You know, we talked about this when the Bulls traded for Zach LaVine. So maybe that's one really good aspect of Zach LaVine, is he's got some connections around the NBA to younger stars, guys that are up and coming. That's what kind of we were missing with Jimmy Butler. Like, that was one of the negative trade-offs, is Jimmy had all those USA basketball connections to these superstars that would give us a potential to add a number two alongside him. Once they traded him away, you don't really have that asset anymore. And look, Chicago's awesome. Both you and I have grown up here. This is the only place we've known, really, as our hometowns. Chicago is different now, the way that basketball players look at this city, than they did in the 90s or even in the early 2000s, when it was still had some draw because of Jordan and all the championships. It's not like that anymore. Like, guys don't want to come here anymore because the culture hasn't been great and the winning hasn't been there. Like, all of that in combination with not having another star, I think it plays a huge factor, especially in today's era. Like, you heard John Paxson on 670 say that, like, guys want to go and play together, and they're teaming up and going to places, and without having that guy here to kind of recruit somebody else, it makes things a lot tougher. So do you feel like the way that he kind of pitched this was two different avenues of being able to recruit within, have the guys that you drafted be able to go around the league and start to recruit guys maybe 2-3 years down the road, and also have some of your younger guys do it, like Zach LaVine, like Coby White, like Wendell Carter Jr.? Do you think that that's in the cards? And who, I guess my question would be, who do you think out of those guys on this Bulls team right now has the best possible chance of recruiting better players maybe down the road 2-3 years from now?
Well, my semi-serious suggestion from I think our Monday show of signing Thanasis Antetokounmpo is now out the window. He did sign with the Bucks, so that's a bummer. That was my secret awesome plan for the Bulls getting Giannis in a couple of years. Look, I don't necessarily think it's about who's doing the recruiting. And, you know, and I know that sounds silly because so much of it these days is what young stars want to play with other young stars because they get to know each other at Team USA Basketball or this or that or whatever, or played with or against each other in their brief college careers. But like, to me, like, the most interesting recent example of it doesn't matter who gives a fuck who's doing the recruiting, you just need to get it done, is the recent interview that Shams did with our old pal Spencer Dinwiddie. And they were talking about how Spencer Dinwiddie is the one who first successfully started recruiting Kyrie to come to Brooklyn. Spencer Dinwiddie! No disrespect to the guy. A lot of Bulls fans miss him. A lot of Bulls fans cry about firing guard packs because of Spencer Dinwiddie not being here anymore. Again, no disrespect. But, you know, you talk about like, oh, well, LeBron is the magnet that brought AD to LA and Kawhi and Paul George playing together and all that. It's like can Zach LaVine be a recruiter? Rewinding back to the Tibbs era Bulls and people giving D Rose shit because like, oh, D Rose was never willing to be the recruiter that he could have been, that he should have been, to get other big stars to come play with him here. And it's like, dude, if Spencer Dinwiddie can go convince Kyrie to come to Brooklyn, it's all a fucking crapshoot, man. Right place, right time, and right arguments to make when you are pitching the star that you want to go get. And do the Bulls in the city of Chicago have a disadvantage or disadvantages from the gate because of the winter climate here in Chicago, because of some of the reputation things that are kind of still an issue when you talk about their reputation among players and among agents across the league? And then also the incredibly high tax rate here in the state of Illinois, in the city of Chicago. All of those things are disadvantages that put the Bulls two steps behind other intriguing free agent destinations. So to me, it's not about who's pitching. It's not about who's doing the recruiting. It's a crapshoot. And, you know, will we ever see the Bulls get it done? Who knows? Is Zach LaVine the guy that can get it done? Or Markkanen? Or Wendell? I don't know. Nobody knows.
To me, I think it's going to be Zach LaVine. Out of anybody on this team, I think he's got the most pull. He's friends with a lot of guys around the league. But I think, you know, what we were talking about at the All-Star break, like that's where a lot of conversations, I think, happen. Like outside of USA Basketball, which is also a really big pull for a lot of guys. And look at, for example, like Brooklyn. Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant being friends with DeAndre Jordan, all three of those guys bonding together. And that was started through USA Basketball. So a lot of these things that are outside of just playing on your specific team and maybe being friends with guys in college, I think start with these opportunities. Another one being All-Star Weekend. I think that's huge too. Like getting Bulls players to be at All-Star Weekend and be in the All-Star game can start conversations with other stars around the league. You know, we talked about Markkanen being there for the last 2 years, which is great. I mean, he's surrounded by other young, great talent that's going to, most of those guys are going to be stars at some capacity throughout their careers. That's where it's got to start. So maybe it's about getting a Bulls player into the All-Star game. And it's not just getting him in there, but also being good enough to say, yo, I'm here. I'm good. Maybe take a look at and let's have a conversation. Maybe take a look at the team that I'm on. And maybe you want to come here and play for the Bulls. I think that starts with Zach LaVine. I think he's got the most promise in terms of being an all-star right away, like in the next couple of years. Yeah, marketing could be that guy too. I think we got to wait a little bit longer for that. But I think it starts with these outside areas too. Like we were seeing USA Basketball and also that the all-star game, because these guys are chopping it up. And if both players are sitting at home, nobody's really having that conversation.
Yeah, I mean, like, that's a good point. The all-star weekend, let's all, you know, talk to each other and see where people want to play, who wants to play with each other. That's very much a real thing. And you're probably right that if the Bulls are going to have a representative at All-Star Weekend this season, good money to put on Zach LaVine being the guy that's there and is a likable guy in the league and can maybe start to do a little bit of subtle recruiting, especially if the Bulls are actually something close to a 500 basketball team coming into All-Star break. That would certainly help. And again, it might take that for LaVine to even get to All-Star Weekend, as we were talking about. But to me, you know, go back to the fact that, you know, Spencer Dinwiddie was not recruiting people at All-Star Weekend. So it can be done, and it can be done by anybody. It's just, can you make the right pitch? Sadly for the Bulls, over the course of the several, you know, years of the John Paxson era, the answer has been no.
Thanks for the call, Julian. Appreciate it. Always like Julian's perspective because he gives one that's usually opposite of what you and I think, Matt, and which is good. We want differing opinions on this show. So appreciate you checking in from San Diego. Matt, I'm going to go to the text line real quick and just rattle off some texts here that we have, kind of mix things up. This one from the 815. How long are we stuck with Boylan?
Whipped cream and a turd still tastes like
I don't know, man. Like, he just signed the extension in the offseason. So I think we're with Boylan for at least, if I had to put a minimum on it, probably 2 years, right?
Yeah, probably. I mean, you know, there's the old saying goes, coaches are hired to be fired. Coaches are hired to be fired, man. So, I mean, we'll see what happens if the Bulls get off to a rocky start, if the Bulls get off to a good start, if the players buying in, you know, story that we're being fed from within that organization and the local media is real or not. And it'll largely be dictated by whether or not this is a winning basketball team. Because if they're losing and Boylan's yelling at them, I don't know how much longer the guys are going to happily go along and take it, especially if they're healthy and losing. You know, what we do know is that Paxson loves Boylan. He loves him a whole hell of a lot. Seems like Jerry and Michael Reinsdorf both also very high on Jim Boylan, and him being the quote unquote old school guy, quote unquote tough guy, whatever you want to call it. They certainly seem to be in lockstep when it comes to what they think about this franchise and how it's run. And recent examples of that is the team bringing back Archie and bringing back Shaq. Those are two Boylan guys. So we'll see.
And these guys are men.
Ugh. But I'm with you. I'd say, you know, this season for sure. And I would be surprised if he's, unless something crazy happens, like some crazy scandal or something just that's out of control. If, you know, Boylan blows a fuse on the court one night, he's probably this team's coach, at least coming into the 2021 season as well.
At least he doesn't have Igor Kokoskov to worry about anymore, right? So getting in fights with him and Dave Yeager, too. Damn. Yeah, that's two out of the three Bulls. Two out of the three coaches that Jim Boylan got in scraps with are now axed.
Here's a tip, Boylan. Don't call timeouts with less than 30 seconds left in a game that's already been decided by 10 or more points.
Maybe you have some introspection.
Maybe you'll make some friends among your colleagues instead of enemies.
It's unbelievable. But two out of the three of those guys got fired and Jim Boylan got an extension. So weird way that the NBA works, weird way that this world works. But yeah, thanks for texting in. So this one comes internationally, Matt. Cool that we get some international texts in as well. This is from Ronan from Ireland. He asks us, should the Bulls entertain an idea of trading for D'Angelo Russell sometime down the road? You know, we were talking about this too with D'Angelo Russell's, whether or not he's going to stay with Golden State or they're ultimately going to look to move him after Clay gets healthy. And they're ultimately going to have to pay Draymond as well. Would it be something that the that Golden State would be looking to reload on younger talents, and in turn, the Bulls could end up with a young point guard of the future. I know this would kind of put the Bulls in a weird situation, considering they just signed Thomas Adoransky for 3 years. They re-signed Archie and Shaq. But do you think this is something that the Bulls would play around with if, in fact, D'Angelo Russell becomes available, maybe at the trade deadline, or not even at the trade deadline, go past that, maybe next offseason when Golden State is fully healthy again and they're looking to kind of reload on young talent?
I mean, it's an interesting thought. You know, you and I talked about Russell as maybe a possibility, and largely it was because of mailbag questions and comments saying from people, from our listeners saying we should go get D'Angelo Russell, do what you need to do to create the cap space and go sign him. And you and I were both sitting here saying, hey, yeah, that'd sure be nice, but don't hold your breath. And I would say still the answer is don't hold your breath, because I just don't see the Warriors, based on what we've heard in the recent weeks since that sign trade went down, that they're actually planning on trading him. I think that the Warriors are excited about bringing Russell in as sort of a new start to help replace the absence of Kevin Durant, you know, cover up some of the absence and some of the offensive firepower of Klay Thompson while he's rehabbing his ACL. And certainly, at least until Klay comes back, that D'Angelo Russell is going to be an important piece of that Warriors team, backing up Steph Curry and, you know, and Draymond Green to still fight to be in the playoff picture in the Western Conference. Now, if and when Klay does make a, you know, fully like Iron Man style recovery and Klay Thompson actually plays before the 19-20 season is over and things are kind of back to normal in Golden State, at least the pre-Durant years back to normal, and they feel like they can move on without Russell, then you get the question of, do the Bulls look to be one of the teams that gets involved in trying to trade for Russell, and what are you giving up to get him? But until we get to that point, I feel like it's just kind of it's a moot point to talk about the Bulls going after Russell, because the Warriors, certainly at least until Klay comes back, are planning on keeping it.
Yeah, and if the Warriors were trying to do that, they would be doing something like this.
To retool, not rebuild.
2017. Unreal. But yes, I agree with you. And I think they're going to want to see him play some games, because what happens if he's really good alongside Steph Curry? And once Klay Thompson comes back, they figure it out and they can play all three of those guys at the same time. So to me, I think it's kind of a wait and see type of thing. Like, that's still on the table and he could get dealt. But I think if he has another really good season, potentially an all-star season again, the price for D'Angelo Russell is only going to go up. And, you know, if I'm not trading for a guy that's a top 15 player in this league, I'm not looking to give up multiple young players and assets and future draft picks to acquire D'Angelo Russell on a near max deal. So that's just me. All right, final text, and then we are going to bounce out of here. Friday's episode, we will do some more voicemails because we have a ton of them and a bunch of texts. So you can drop those at 331-979-1369. Matt, this text comes from the 360. This is David from Washington. He said, lots of thoughts here and opinions, but I'm going to lead here. Offense limited to around the basket. Ferocious dunker. Iffy free throw shooter. Tenacious rebounder. Above average shot blocker. Is Gafford as a 20-year-old 38th overall pick already projected higher than Dwight Howard as an 18-year-old first overall pick? Is this how the game has changed and progressed in the past 15 years, where almost literally the same player goes from the first pick to the 38th pick? There is very little difference between their games at this stage from what I can recall. Thoughts?
Wow. well, I mean, first and foremost, like, I know that he's become kind of an afterthought and he's bounced around to so many teams and people see him as a cancer. His Lakers experiment didn't work out. His Rockets experiments didn't work out. He left Orlando in real ugly fashion with that awkward, you know, interrupting his old pal, Stan Van Gundy, his coach's interview after he had said some nasty things about him. Dwight Howard has become a really weird story. But let's not forget that prime Dwight Howard in Orlando brought that team to a finals. A lot of people thought he should have been the MVP over Derrick Rose in 10-11. And, I mean, just look at his first handful of seasons in the league. And this is games played and games started. 82, 82, 82, 82, 79, 82. And he was averaging somewhere in the not only scoring between, you know, 15 to 20, 22 points a game, but 12, 13, 14 rebounds a game. Oh, and also like damn near three blocks a game. So I know Bulls fans are excited about Daniel Gafford, but please, for the love of God, do not compare him to Dwight Howard, who in his prime was a freaking monster.
With you on that. Totally with you on that. Because come on, like Dwight Howard, his first season in the league, he had averaged a double-double for the first season, 12 and 10. Like, I'm talking about a guy that led the league in rebounds and blocks in his fourth, fifth, and sixth year, like in averaging 20 in 15, like it was no problem. Like, I'm excited for Daniel Gafford. I think he's going to be a whole hell of a lot of fun to watch and fun to watch develop too. And I'm curious to see how Jim Boylan develops him and what he does with him. But I think this year he's going to spend the majority of his time in the G League. It's a good place for him to start too. I think getting more reps against guys that are a little bit better competition than what he was seeing at Arkansas, help him develop a little bit of his offensive game too. I think he's a good defender already, and he's shown he can defend multiple positions. He did it pretty well, and he can move side to side pretty well, and he can run the floor really good. He's a great shot blocker as well, but I think that's going to be his limit there, is can he find a way to score outside of 4 feet from the basket? That's going to be the biggest thing for him. So yeah. To me, I'm with you. Let's cool it on the Dwight Howard comparisons.
Chill. We all love Daniel Gafford, but chill.
So, but I think that's going to about do it here on Locked On Bulls. Again, we're going to split this up, and we're going to do our second half of our mailbag, drop a bunch of other voicemails because we still have a bunch lined up, and some text messages as well. You can always hit us up at 331-979-1369. We're on Twitter at Jordan C. Malley, at Bulls _ Peck, and at Locked On Bulls. Hit us up with your text and voicemails, though, 331-979-1369. We're live on Dash Radio, dashradio.com, and the Dash Radio app on the Nothing But Net channel. Live on Dash Radio every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday, 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central Time. For Matt Peckham, Jordan Malley, Bulls Nation, have a wonderful day. We'll be back tomorrow with a fresh episode. For Jordan and Matt, we are out. Deuces.
Locked On Bulls, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA. Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA. Locked On Bulls is live on Dash Radio every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday, starting at 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central. For more content and to stay up to date, head over to LockedOnBulls.com.